Secretary Henry. Chair Wilk. Here. Director Banks.
Here.
Director Tanem.
Here.
Director Morris.
Here.
Director Prado.
Here.
Director Wolf.
Here.
Director Saldana.
Here.
Director Towns.
Here.
Director Wisner. Chair, we have a forum.
Thank you very much. Is there any public comment? Okay, thank you. I just had a couple of things that I want to do. First, I'd ask for approval of the regular board meeting minutes of May 27th.
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? We are in the process of working through with Tom and Dawn how we actually structure minutes, and we have a series of executive session minutes that we are going to work to release. And we're going to just need your help at some point in the discussion about how to think about recording the comments. One thing that I think we have agreed on is anything that is currently still a topic that should be kept private, such as labor negotiations which haven't been resolved. Even though we will release the executive session minutes, we will comment that that section has been redacted because the labor negotiations are still ongoing, and you'll see that in the minutes that they've been approved. What we need to figure out is then at some later point, once the negotiations have been resolved, if we come back and then re-release these minutes, so we're still working through all of that. You'll see that in the way that we've defined the minutes. So just wanted to comment on that. And then I had four other quick things. One is I wanted to ask Director Morris to comment a little bit and talk about the customer service working group, which I know met and had a very productive meeting.
Okay. We had the one presentation earlier in finance, which we thought was important. The electronic tolling bidding process is about 2 weeks behind schedule, which was a 14-month schedule, but it's moving along pretty well. What we're going to do, we're asking, is we will renew the contract for 1 year at approximately $11 million during this process, and it is possible that in February we might be back for another month or two renewal just to finish the process. There's three potential bidders, and we're hoping to draw the specs to draw all three and to give us the best possible pricing. Other than that, mainly the items that were important for the whole board were the replacement of the transponders, which we had the presentation on, and we have begun to be more aggressive with the collection of unpaid tolls. What we have done for the board members for this period of time is you should have a summary of our meeting and some of the handouts in your packets. And if anybody has questions, feel free to call. But we did have a good meeting and a lot of participation, both from staff and from the board members. So if people have questions, don't be afraid to ask. We'll try to make sure we get them answered. And what we are kind of looking for is if there are customer service issues that any of you come across, especially as board members, that you want us to look into, we seem to be getting a good response from the staff on that. You've seen some of our new signs out there, which are different, the different coloring on the new signs to tie in to some of the interagency regulations. We have the small signs that have been put up that if you miss a toll, you have 7 days. So there's a lot of things that may not seem real sexy, but what our goal is to continue to do that. And the committee is working with the staff to begin to track better every call, every question that comes in here, good, bad, or indifferent, so we can begin to monitor. And quarterly, we'll keep an eye on that. Again, our bottom line is to keep the customers happy and paying their tolls and enjoying the experience on the toll system so that they continue to pay those tolls. And we seem to be getting a pretty good response with the systems that are finished with construction. Good member from Rockford found out this morning what it's like when you have construction and it does slow things down and make it a little more difficult. So what we're doing is trying to monitor both in areas where there is construction to see how we can make that experience better in a difficult situation, but also on the more open systems to keep track of that. So if you have any questions, we'd be happy to answer them.
Any questions? Thank you very much for continuing to chair this committee.
Yeah, I did want to make an addition. One of the things that we asked is for an overview from staff, which now may include also the traffic engineers, in terms of everything that's involved on the tolling system, in terms of the IT contract,
right,
the backbone system, the transponder, the Igor contract, that's just the packaging. parts, just so that, you know, from time to time, we say, okay, here's another $1 million contract for this part, and this is how it fits. Maybe we had an overview, and maybe some of the other directors already understand this, but I'm pretty new, and I think I appreciate that kind of overview and how it all fits together.
Right, in fact, the new executive directors agreed where we will have maybe a presentation once a month on like Route 53 or the Western Access. We're going to try to have at least quarterly a similar business systems presentation. Maria pointed out in our committee, we're talking million here, 10 million there, 11 million here, and we're all focused on engineering and structures and culverts and that. So we will try to do that, because as you saw this morning, the fact that we had just gone through an intensive review, we're beginning to see where there may be and maybe not redundancy, but because these contracts come together. So hopefully within the next month or two, we'll set up a schedule where there's quarterly or something, a similar short report for the whole board, even though we might have intensive review by the committee.
And are you planning to do the big overview that Director Saldana referred to in your committee?
No, this would be, we're asking that the full board be briefed on some of these larger business systems, because, you know, smaller contracts are one issue, but when we were reviewing these, we've got, you know, packaging the transponders, you've got the electronic tolling, which is $11 million, and then you've got to buy the Mark IV system, which is another $10 million, and we kind of have no choice but to take Mark IV because that's the interagency one, and at the same time we're doing this, so that's the $20 or $30 million decision annually that we, for the newer board members at least, we would do some education, because we don't want to, we love the roads, we love concrete, we love the engineering, but we need to recognize the business side is tens of millions of dollars as well.
Thank you. I think that'll be very helpful. If we can give advance notification to directors so that they know what they're going to be looking forward to, that's great. Director Wisner is out of the country on business, but I gather his group is going to meet in July? Okay, great. Just three other things. Christy and I have gone out and met with some of the editorial boards within the region. I see there's no press here today, so I'm sure there's no correlation.
The RTA's meeting, I'm
told. But that's been very instructive and useful to think about which parts of our community are interested in what issues. So it's educational to us, and we're also trying to give them a sense of what we're doing, and we thank Joelle and her group for putting together this. Monday we had a transition team meeting, and Director Towns was able to attend that. I just want to commend Christy and the staff. I think they did a great job of putting together the first of a set of what are going to be three other meetings that will do an overview and a presentation on issues and challenges and opportunities facing the tollway. There was actually some good discussion among the members of the transition team. The nice thing is that it's a very diverse group that she's put together, so people are coming from different perspectives and asking questions that I think are helping prompt some good thinking. So I wanted to commend her and the staff on doing that. Thank you. There is, as you've noticed, no audit committee meeting today. We are going into the process of reviewing the findings for our audit, and we were just talking. I think what we'll try to do is hold a standalone audit committee meeting sometime in July. And obviously, any director is welcome, but we'll then do an abbreviated version of that at the full board meeting. But I'd like the audit committee to spend some time really looking at the findings that have come out of the auditor general's outside auditor and to be able to review those. So that's it for me.
Great. Okay, thank you. First item is I think all of you had a chance to, hopefully had a chance to review or at least were saw the bylaws regarding conflict of interest and some of the changes we'd like to make to that. Are there any questions or comments on those?
At least the bylaws on those?
Yes.
Yeah, and I was going to ask that we defer that to the July meeting, because I am in discussions with Andrew and with Tom. I apologize for not focusing on this earlier, but I just want to make sure I'm clear on certain scenarios, so I ask that we defer. Any decision?
Is there any problem with that?
No.
Okay, well, we'll defer those, and then Andrew and Maria will get back to us.
Yeah, could we ask Andrew or whomever's coordinating that to send the most updated versions to us so we can have a chance to get up to speed on any changes?
I think what we'd like is updated version that would have been presented at this board meeting.
Right,
which I think reflected what we had agreed on at the last board meeting, and then any changes that might be suggested or recommended after the discussions with Director Saldana.
So I have a couple of items to update you on. First, I'd like to introduce Tim Growalski, who is, just walked out of the room, never mind. I'll come back to that, sorry. He's my new assistant, and I wanted to introduce him to everyone. He's just recently graduated from DePaul. You'll begin to notice the DePaul trend.
Do you see a trend there?
Right.
Yes.
Believe me, there's no, it's not purposeful.
Do they have to wear a blue demon outfit once in a while?
That was a good one. So, no, they do not, and there's no trend. They're just exceptionally talented, if I do say so myself. So, anyway, I'll introduce him shortly. I wanted to recognize or take a moment to recognize the good work of one of our dispatchers and several of our troopers. There was recently an incident on our roadway, and this team of people really stepped up and did an excellent job. I'd like to introduce Michelle Cardolano, who is a dispatcher. She's here on her day off, so thank you for coming. But we wanted to recognize her at the board meeting, along with troopers Janet Reffert, Mike Burns, Kevin York, and Brad Bastian. This is an example of really a team of people coming together and helping one of our patrons who is in a crisis situation on one of our roadways. So I'd like to explain that to you and read an excerpt from a letter that patron ultimately sent us recommending the excellent job that team of people did. We are just using first names to protect his privacy, but one of our tollway customers from Ohio was traveling home after visiting family in Wisconsin on May 24th when he began to slip into a diabetic coma. Rapidly losing consciousness and unsure of his location, the customer was connected to tollway dispatch and Michelle. She began to coax information from the customer so that TIMS, our state police, and roadway maintenance could begin the search and ultimately locate him on our system. Here are some excerpts from the letter thanking us for the assistance. I will remember Michelle's voice on my cell phone for the rest of my life. Michelle has something that you don't, or that you can't learn through training. Anyone can give instructions, yell, scold, or badger a 911 caller to keep them conscious. Michelle, however, listened to me and immediately realized I was in serious trouble. She quickly changed to a voice that showed empathy, was absolutely calm, but was at the same time totally compelling. I found I simply could not ignore her and fall into a coma. Michelle has a rare gift for building a close personal connection using only the telephone. For 43 minutes and 3 seconds, she yelled, cajoled, badgered me for information about my location, and did everything but stand on her head to keep me from falling into a coma. To every member of the staff of District 15, including tollway workers, you all make contributions to keep me alive. Every day for the rest of my life, I will think of you and remember that from now on, each day I'm alive, and it's a special gift from each and every one of you. My goodness, that was emotional for me.
Yes.
I can only imagine. Thank you.
It's a good thing. Christy, you shouldn't feel bad. John Benda cried when he read it.
All of your excellent work, and do thank all of your troopers for their good work as well. Also, would like to take a moment to recognize one of our employees who also is in the military and has recommended the tollway for a Patriot Award from the employer support of the Guard and Reserve. Aaron Jones, also known as AJ, has recommended the tollway. He has nominated us for this award by the Messenger Services Supervisor. AJ has been with the tollway for 15 years and also has 10 years of military service. While working at the tollway, AJ, Sergeant First Class, has taken leave for two tours of duty, one in Iraq and another in Afghanistan. Tremendous credit to our staff and to his country, so we thank you for that service. As the employer support of the Guard and Reserve, the group is here today to present us this award and is represented by Tom Gorski. So Tom, if you'd like to stand up and make some comments and present us with your award.
Let me say, first of all, my name is Tom Gorski. I'm with the Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve, the Illinois Committee. And one of my privileges is to come out and make these awards to employers. And it is a privilege, believe me. On behalf of the National Committee for Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve, they recognize the Illinois State Toll Highway Authority as a patriotic employer for contributing to national security and protecting liberty and freedom by supporting employee participation in America's National Guard and Reserve Force. It's signed by P.K. Brunelli, the Executive Director for the National Committee of the Employer Supported Guard and Reserve, and James G. Rebolts, the Chairman of the National Committee for the SGR. Soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and Coast Guardsmen, they can't do this without the employers. The support of the family and the employer. They couldn't perform their function in times like these. So.
Great, thank you. Should we hold for photos until we can have the entire board? It's really a tollway effort, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure.
Staying for a while and we'll hold for photos.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I don't want to delay the meeting too much.
Give a round of applause for
her. AJ.
And a big thank you for
yes.
serving our country.
Thank
yes.
you very much. 4th of July weekend, just want to mention, obviously this is a big travel weekend coming up for us and want to talk about safety, remind everyone to slow down on our system, certainly, and remember that texting is prohibited now. Of course, none of us are doing that anymore, I know, but texting is prohibited, and of course, cell phones have to be used on the hands-free setting in any construction zone and really should be while driving. Generally, if at all possible. District 15 will be out in force, and our state troopers will be conducting construction zone speed enforcement and just generally ensuring that our roadways are safe. We'll be hosting also the second round of child safety seat inspections, and we're going to be at the Lake Forest Oasis on June 29th, June 30th at the Southland Lincoln location, and on July 1 out at Belvedere again, which I had the pleasure of going out there for the first one at the beginning of the year, and it was quite something. So, reminder to everybody to buckle up. Anything to add?
Yes, in addition to our regular enforcement efforts, we've joined forces with a number of other states, and for those of you who may be driving on I-94 Friday evening, you should see a lot of extra police officers, not only in Illinois and in District 15, but also in Wisconsin, Michigan, Indiana. So it's a multi-state enforcement effort, and we just hope that everyone has a safe holiday.
Great, thank you. Wanted to update you on the bond swap pricing at your direction. Our financial office and Mike Kelch moved forward with bond sale to replace some of our variable rate bonds with the fixed rate bonds, which I think was the responsible thing to do. Mike, would you like to give us an update?
Thank you, Christy. 2 weeks ago, this morning, Natoli successfully priced fixed rate bonds to refund $287 million of synthetic fixed rate bonds and to terminate the swap that was associated with those bonds. The all-in cost of the transaction, including the cost of terminating the swap, was about 5.1%, which was within the range of what we had laid out as our parameters. We had expected to do this between 5 and 5.25%. It was a difficult time in the market, actually, and we had some very good support and effort on the part of our financial team, the financial advisors, and the underwriters the joint book running managers were Bank of America Merrill Lynch and Siegfried Branford Schenck. We did an excellent job of keeping the prices, the interest rates that we had initially offered at the levels that they were. Several other deals in the market that day had to come back and reprice at higher yields. We investigated. Initially, we wanted to do about $400 million in this first transaction, so we investigated the opportunity with them of doing the full $400 million as opposed to $287 million. But the advice of both of the financial advisors and the underwriters were to have a smaller transaction because of the difficulty in the market that day. The underwriters actually do have about $17 million of unsold balances, which they're underwriting, which indicates obviously that we did get into the market at an aggressive price. The swap that we chose to terminate was one in which the bank had been downgraded. It was DEPFA Bank, and the bank had been downgraded, and it had triggered what's called an additional termination event, which provided us an opportunity to actually get out of that swap at a very favorable cost relative to the market. We estimate that the cost of terminating this swap because of that additional termination event was about 60% of what it would have been otherwise. So we definitely wanted to move forward with that piece, and we looked at the opportunity to do the larger piece and decided that we should wait. There was a lot of Illinois bonds in the market right now, and we do plan to come back with a second issuance and try to reduce our exposure even further to synthetic fixed rate.
Great. Any questions? Or if you can Senate Bill 51, which is procurement reform, we had a trailer bill that came through the legislature that did make some changes, so I've asked Albert to prepare a brief presentation so that the directors are fully briefed on the requirements and particularly focusing on their requirements under the legislation as it's been amended through the legislative process. So, Albert.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Pipe up. Good morning again. To keep in the title of the title up here, we're going to be talking about the statewide procurement reforms and how they will impact solar business. Christy mentioned already the two pieces of legislation that affect the procurement reforms. Those are Senate Bill 51 and Senate Bill 3576. They have now become public acts, but this is still the shorthand for how to refer to the procurement reforms. As I mentioned, we talked about Senate Bill 51 already. Just to refresh your recollection, those reforms concentrated on who was running procurement statewide, and they were also intended to provide more transparency and disclosure. So the new element now is the trailer bill, Senate Bill 3576. Let me mention first. Let me mention first what hasn't changed. The effective date of the legislation of the procurement reforms is still July 1st, 2010. That's for most of the reforms. The new elements introduced by the trailer bill are listed up on the screen right now. The effective date for the communications reporting is now January 1st, 2011. So we have a little bit more time to make sure that everyone's adequately trained and understands what has to and doesn't have to be reported. The trailer bill also contains a new transition and rulemaking period that goes from the effective date of Senate Bill 51, July 1st, to August 31st, 2010. The Procurement Policy Board has been granted some extended power to review proposed contract extensions and renewals that are over $250,000. And there has been a narrowing of who becomes a prohibited bidder, which is good news. The reforms, the items from the Senate, from the Senate Bill 3576 that have the biggest impact to the tollway are that more information is going to be required from our subcontracting. In the past, we've got extensive information from prime contractors. Now we're going to have to get some information from the subcontractors as well. I mentioned that the reporting date has been pushed back, but there are still a lot of activity that's going on now in anticipation of being able to comply with the new effective date. There is a statewide system that we have been undergoing user acceptance testing with. We have a tollway backup system, which we are piloting, and we also are intending for there to be training to staff and anyone who has to report. We are participating currently in sole source public hearings. We are doing that voluntarily right now. It will become mandatory very shortly, July 1st. And there has been discussion with firms about industry best practices now can't continue. Let me get a little bit into subcontractor information. This has the potential for the biggest impact to the tollway. I put up a disclaimer that indicates that we still don't have rules. Those rules are going to be published by the State Ethics Commission, and they will provide guidance about the legislation. All the agencies have had an opportunity to provide feedback, and we are hopeful that there will be more guidance very shortly. The trailer bill, however, did give us some relief in the form of subcontracts. Now subcontracts only have to be reported if they have over $25,000, which, as we discussed with engineering, would be a lot of their subcontracts. But some additional things that are going to be required are we have to provide the names, addresses, and expected amount of money that the subcontractors are going to receive. We have to collect information about, we have to collect the subcontractor agreements and provide them to the Procurement Policy Board. We have to be notified of any changes in the subcontractor makeup. So if a prime is in flight on a contract and they have changes, we have to be notified. We currently are notified for all DBE subcontractors. This would extend to all non-DBE subcontractors as well. We are going to require that subcontractors also provide us the same standard certifications and disclosures that are required of the prime contractors only currently. Some examples include certifications about not having any unpaid tolls, not being tax delinquent, and if you are utilizing a lobbyist, then making sure that we're not getting charged for that lobbyist time. Lastly, annual recertifications are going to be required of the primes and the subcontractors. So currently we collect this information and we hold it for the duration of the contract. Now we're going to annually have to revisit all of our contracts to make sure that all of the certifications are current. These are some of the steps that the tollway has taken to become compliant with the subcontractor requirement. We went through a long period of redrafting our standard solicitation and contract templates to incorporate new requirements. I know that engineering has worked, and we've kind of piggybacked on this, creating an electronic repository for all of the standard certifications per contract, per contractor, so that annually it would be very easy to ask for any changes to be highlighted and reported to us, and then that we could collect them. And we are planning on informing our contractors about how to comply with these new requirements. We have had discussions with the road builders. We are having discussions with as many interested parties as we can so that it doesn't come as any sort of surprise to anyone about new reporting requirements. The last bullet point I think is very important. We are going to be in compliance with these requirements as of July 1st, 2010. The next major area of interest that there has been on vendor reporting. And let me again restate the latest development, which is that the implementation date moved to January 1st, 2011. I wanted to be very clear. This means that you do not have to record or report your communications with anyone who is merely inquiring about how to do business with the tollway prior to this new date. I know there's been some concern about that, and most of the communications that employees